I'll tell you what, that last song that y'all sung was just beautiful. And I've heard that song before. I mean, I'd sung that song before, but somebody up here in the front was just, and I can tell you who it was, and it wasn't me and Daryl. But that was just beautiful singing, and I am grateful for that. As Daryl mentioned, I'm a native of Indianapolis, Indiana. I was born and raised in southern Kentucky, lived in Nashville, Tennessee for a few years of my life. My father, being a gospel preacher, I would describe it as being kind of like in a military family. About every 2 years, we moved. Back then, gospel preachers didn't stay very long where they were. You know, they only stayed about 2 or 3 years, and then they felt like they had outlived their usefulness, and they decided to move on. But I've been now in Indianapolis for a good 20, 25 years, where I met my wife. And my wife and kids were supposed to be on this trip with me, but I kind of got it messed up. I told her that this meeting was going to be last week, and it turned out it was this week, and that was because I wasn't paying attention. And so they're still down in Tampa on vacation. My son, my youngest son, who's 14, asked me, said, Dad, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to prison. He said, no, seriously, where are you going? I said, I'm going to prison. and then I explained to him that that Brother Daryl has a program in the prison, and I'm excited about that opportunity. I'm excited about going there and speaking to those men. And I'm excited about those of you who are present today, because I know as in your life, as in my life, you've been pardoned by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I wake up every day and I'm thankful for that. There's two things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my wife, who saved my life, and I'm thankful for my Savior, who saved my soul. And if that's not worth getting out of bed for every morning, what is? And I am thankful for that. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to come to this congregation and to be with you fine folks. I've got to spend the evening last night with Daryl and Missy, and I just had a great time. And they're good people. My mom texted me last night and said that it was flurrying in Indianapolis, 26 degrees. And I thought about just telling Daryl, hey, let me kick you around here for a couple more days. But unfortunately, I've got to leave tonight after our meeting together and head back to Indianapolis and make it back in time for some meetings tomorrow. I want to say at the start of my lesson this morning that the last thing that I want to do is hurt your feelings. But what we want and we need to talk about are some very sensitive things this morning. I have invested a lot of time and research in the topic that we're going to be talking about this morning, and my soul's desire is that I can reach at least one person within the sound of my voice. That's my desire, that we're able to do that this morning. And so before we endeavor to open up God's Word and to study on what I've prepared, let us pray together. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts at this time, Father, recognizing that you are our Creator. You are the sustainer of our lives, Father. And Father, as we open up your words this morning, we pray that we will all have soft hearts, and that we will have hearts of understanding, and that we will recognize, Father, that through the pages of your word, that you have provided all things that pertain to life and to godliness, all the answers that we search for, all the mysteries that are unknown to us are found within the pages of your word. And we are thankful for that. May we make the proper applications for our life this morning. Father, may we ever cherish the sacrifice of your Son, and it's through him we pray. Amen. There's a friend of mine back home that does a lot of scuba diving, and he has been telling me for years, you know, you need to go down to Mexico with me and do a little scuba diving. You need to come down there. We need to go to Cozumel, and he said, you know, I can get you licensed to go scuba diving in 10 minutes. I don't know how that happened. I thought there was tests you had to take. I thought that you had to learn how to get acclimated and so on and so forth in the water. But anyway, I haven't ever taken him up on it. Now, I'm here on this side of the United States. You probably go scuba diving down in the Caribbean or Key West or whatever down in here. But on the West Coast, most of the people down there will go to Hawaii. They'll go down there to scuba dive down in the islands of Hawaii. There's a place off the coast of Maui that years and years and years ago, there had been an active volcano. It's no longer active. It's kind of outlived its usefulness there. And what has happened is that this volcano has kind of risen up out of the water, hundreds of feet out of the water. And the inside of this volcano has collapsed. And it has made a crescent inside of this volcano. Kind of a bowl shape on the inside of the volcano, but the exterior walls of this volcano is still up. The boat can drive inside the bowl shape of this volcano, and it's a great place to go scuba diving. People go scuba diving there all the time. There's a lot of neat things you can see. The water's there. People will scuba dive anywhere from 30 to 50 feet in that area, and there's a lot of neat things to see. But what's even more appealing and what's even a neater thing to see is on the outside of the wall of this crescent bowl-shaped volcano, there is a shear wall that runs 360 feet to the ocean floor. And a lot of scuba divers want to go out there and they want to explore those waters. But the dive boats that take you out there, they have a term for that area out there on the outside of this crescent-shaped volcano, and it's called dangerous waters. And the reason that they call it dangerous waters is because at any given time, there can be a current that can come in straight to the wall from the Pacific Ocean out there. And that current will split against that wall, and one of two things will happen. If you're lucky, and you're diving up and against and around that wall, that current will send you straight to the top like an elevator. Now, it's not going to be fun because you're not going to be acclimated. You're not going to be, you won't have time to get pressurized or whatever happens in scuba diving. I don't know what all takes place, but it's not going to be fun, but you'll survive. That's the great thing about it. You'll survive. But the flip side of that is that if that current comes into the wall, it can do the opposite. That current can take you straight down 360 feet. To the bottom of the ocean floor, and you will die. And the people on the dive boats will tell you this, that they're not coming to look for you. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do to help you. When one of these currents come against that wall and it splits against that wall and it takes you to the bottom floor and you have no time to equalize, you will die. And that's just the way it is. dangerous waters. And that's the risk that divers take when they dive around that volcano. This morning, I want to talk to you about someone who has hit one of those downward currents. I'm also talking about people in a real sort of way who have to hit, you know, just really have to hit rock bottom before they have a chance of coming up. Those are the people that I want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about this morning is the tragedy and the heartbreak of addiction. That's what we want to talk about. I want you to turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to take a look at what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." What the apostle there is describing for us is that sin and the lure of sin and what Satan has decided to do is to deceive us and draw us in. James describes it this way. He says that we all have sin. When we sin, we are drawn away and enticed by our own lust. That word enticed is a very interesting word when you look at the Greek translation of the word enticed. That word enticed means to lure, just like what we would describe in the world of fishing. You know, you go out here and you fish, you use a fishing lure. And so that's what that word is actually meaning. It's something that looks real, it's something that looks appealing, it's something that looks good, but it's a lure to draw you in. And Paul said, do not be deceived. Because these fornicators and these adulterers and these drunkards and these people who are involved in this sin, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to deceive us. This is exactly what our culture is trying to do. Our culture is trying to deceive us. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't take us very long to turn the TV on and look at the filth on TV and look at how that the screenwriters are promoting adultery, they're promoting fornication, they're promoting homosexuality, and the only people on TV that are the complete whack jobs out there are the straight men and women who are have any sense of morals or godliness about them. Those are the people that the programs want to make fun of. So what God tells us is that we don't be deceived by this. Don't be deceived by this sin, by this draw and this lure of sin. Any of these things that impair your judgment. Notice in verse 9 again, he says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? I don't know what your struggle is this morning, but I want to tell you something. If you're struggling with fornication, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God unless you repent. If you're struggling with drunkenness, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God unless you make a stand in your life and you repent of that sin. If you're struggling with drugs, if you're struggling with adultery, whatever the case may be, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You are not in a saved relationship with God unless you repent. That's what the Bible teaches. Let's somebody said, Brother Brown, you just don't understand. Let me tell you this. It's not about what I'm trying to proclaim. I'm reading straight from the Apostle Paul. I'm reading straight from God's Word. Neither thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I want to think about, and I just want to pull one of these sins out here, because I want to pull one of these sins out here that I've known of people who through the years have had addictions to, and that's drunkenness. As I expressed last night, that in my life I have experienced a bout with alcoholism. I have experienced a bout with drug use before I was able to turn my life around. And by the way, I don't know if I told you this or not, but my wife, I wish she could have come with me. She's a counselor. You know, they make about $70 an hour back home. I don't know, they may make more here. We may have to move down here. I think I've saved probably over $10,000 in being married to her just by free counseling. But oftentimes she'll tell me, she says, I'm not your counselor, I'm your wife. And she's right. But I want us to think about this morning, I want us to think about the scourge of addiction. That's what we want to talk about this morning, the scourge of addiction. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Ephesus here. And I want you to notice what he says here, and I'm reading to you from the New King James Version. He says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Now, some of your translations, I know that if you look at the NIV version, some of you may be reading from the NIV version, may say, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery." Now, that idea brings out, or it leads to, the culture of sin. So when you're talking about debauchery, you're talking about a culture of sin. Now that's a word that we don't use oftentimes today. I don't come up and tell somebody, you know, "Hey, I saw you involved in some debauchery the other night." We don't talk about that. But what he's talking about there is that drunkenness leads to the culture of sin. That's what it does. That's what the NIV tells us. If we look at the New Living Translation, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which will ruin your life." I'm going to tell you, you can change that drunkenness to drugs, you can change it to sex, you can change it to any earthly idol that you want to follow, and I'm going to tell you the same result is true. Do not be drunk with sex, do not be drunk with drugs, do not be drunk with wine, because of what? Because it will ruin your life. It'll ruin it. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us there. He says in the New King James Version, the version I just read from, "Do not be drunk with wine, which will lead to dissipation." A gospel preacher out in San Jose named David Barnes, I heard him talk about the word dissipation one time, and he described it better than anybody I'd ever heard of. But the idea of dissipation is when you get into the shower and you got a bar of soap. Yeah, those new bar of soap, brand new, ivory, big square bar of soap. Well, a couple showers, man, that thing's about half gone, isn't it? A few showers later, that thing is just a sliver. You're looking for it on the shower floor. That's what dissipation is. The dissolving of your life. Do not be drunk with wine, because your life will flee from you. It will dissipate. It will dissolve right before your eyes. The American Standard Version says, do not be drunk with wine as it leads to riotous living. Well, yeah. Most of the crimes that's committed, crimes that's committed today are under the influence of some sort of intoxication, some sort of drug. It's going to lead to riotous living. It's going to lead to careless living. I want to talk to you people who may be on the downward current. Because there's a chance that you can save your life before it's too late. I don't want you to think I'm going to talk about just the addiction of drunkenness today. I want to talk about the addiction of sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the passage we read just a moment ago, I want you to know that I have known the fornicator who knew what he was doing was wrong and was ruining his life, but he couldn't stop because there was a current that was continuing to take him straight to the ocean floor. I have known the drunkard that couldn't stop because the current was too strong and it was taking him down day by day. I've known the drug user who couldn't stop because the current was taking him down. I've known the homosexual. I've known those who have been attracted to the same sex who couldn't stop because the current just kept taking them down. And I want you to understand that sin in and of itself can become so repetitious and can become such a part of our life that we miss the point where it became an addiction. That's what sin can do. Sin can just kind of gray that area of when we know we're doing wrong, but we're only dabbling and God's going to fix us, God's going to make us right. And the next thing we know, the current has taken us to the bottom. In 2 Peter chapter 2, passage I shared with men last night, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. I find this passage very interesting because of the fact of the wording of the New King James Version. Peter here is talking about some people who have gotten involved in sin, they've gotten involved in fornication, they've gotten involved in adultery, they've gotten involved in enticing others to sin. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, here's what Peter says. He says, these people having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Daryl and I talked about this a little last night. That there comes a point in time when we sin so much and it becomes such a habit and it becomes such an addiction that we give our minds over to depraved minds. We stop caring and there's no turning back. There comes a point in time whenever our brain chemicals will allow us to completely ruin our minds to the point that there's no recovery. And that point that I'm talking about is when that current comes in and it takes you 360 feet down and there's nothing anybody can do for you. I want us to think about how serious this truly is.